Chapter 2, Usefulness of Older Workers. Aged workers not released from service. I hope that none of those who have been long in the work will think that because they are growing old, they are incapacitated for service. I hope that they will stand up to bear their message as long as they have the evidence that the Lord is helping them. Edson, Ellen White's second son, encourage the men who have long borne burdens in our work. Even though in their old age their memory may fail somewhat, yet respect them, and the Lord will surely bless you. And let no aged worker, although he is old and gray, think that he is released from service. Let the work be carried on in simplicity. Surely we have the Lord on whom to depend. Older workers needed in crises. God never leaves the world without men who can discern between good and evil, righteousness and unrighteousness. God has men whom He has appointed to stand in the forefront of the battle in times of emergency. In a crisis, He will raise up men as He did in ancient times. Young men will be bidden to link up with the aged standard bearers, that they may be strengthened and taught by the experience of these faithful ones, who have passed through so many conflicts, and to whom, through the testimonies of His Spirit, God has so often spoken, pointing out the right way and condemning the wrong way. When perils arise, which try the faith of God's people, these pioneer workers are to recount the experiences of the past, when just such crises came, when the truth was questioned, when strange sentiments, proceeding not from God, were brought in. The experience of those aged workers is needed now, for Satan is watching every opportunity to make of no account the old waymarks, the monuments that have been raised up along the way. We need the experience of the men who through evil report as well as through good report have been steadfast to the truth, men who have not built their house upon the sand, but upon the solid rock. They know how to help others. The aged standard bearers in the cause of God are far from being useless. The men who have held the beginning of their confidence steadfast unto the end are not to be accounted second or third in the work of God. They are not to be cast aside as having outlived their usefulness. God has an important part for them to act in His work. By learning of Christ they have obtained a rich experience. When they have made false steps, they did not refuse to be corrected. When they wandered from the path that Christ trod, they allowed Him to lead them once more into it. Thus they have learned to help others. Those who have grown old and gray in the service of God are not to be pushed aside by less experienced workers, who know very little about the labor and self-sacrifice of these pioneers. Those who have such laborers among them are highly favored. Those who are commissioned by the Lord to do a large and important work, a work that will leave an impress for good or for ill on the world, according to the way in which it is done, need to seek counsel from those who have been instructed by the Lord. The most tender regard should be cherished for those whose life interest has been bound up with the work of God. These aged workers have stood faithful amidst storm and trial. They may have infirmities, but they still possess talents that qualify them to stand in their place in God's cause. Though worn, and unable to bear the heavier burdens that younger men can and should carry, the counsel they can give is of the highest value. They may have made mistakes, but from their failures they have learned to avoid errors and dangers, and are they not therefore competent to give wise counsel? They have borne test and trial, and though they have lost some of their vigor, the Lord does not lay them aside. He gives them special grace and wisdom. Those who have served their master when the work went hard, who endured poverty and remained faithful when there were few to stand for truth, are to be honored and respected. The Lord desires the younger laborers to gain wisdom, strength, and maturity by association with these faithful men. Let the younger men realize that in having such workers among them they are highly favored. Let them give them an honored place in their councils. As those who have spent their lives in the service of Christ draw near to the close of their earthly ministry, They will be impressed by the Holy Spirit to recount the experiences they have had in connection with the work of God. The record of His wonderful dealings with His people, of His great goodness in delivering them from trial, should be repeated to those newly come to the faith. God desires the old and tried laborers to stand in their place, doing their part to save men and women from being swept downward by the mighty current of evil. He desires them to keep the armor on till He bids them lay it down. Special grace and knowledge. The Lord gives special grace and knowledge to the aged men who have had an experience in the work from its earliest history, and have watched it develop in its various lines of progress. Let these men be appreciated and respected. Let not the fact he lost sight of that in the past they have sacrificed everything to advance the work, because they are growing old is no reason why they should cease to exert an influence superior to the influence of the men who have had far less study of the Word, far less experience in divine things, far less knowledge of the communications of Christ to His people. I have been instructed that no indifference or disrespect is to be shown to these burden-bearing pioneers in the work. They are God's workmen, and have acted a prominent part in building up the work which today ought to bear the similitude of the pattern shown them in the Mount. Older ministers to speak at camp meetings. In 1890 I was given the following message to bear to our people. A mistake has been made in putting young men forward to speak at our camp meetings, before large congregations, when they had not the vital truths to present that were appropriate for the occasion. Precious time has been occupied by those who did not themselves know the true message for this time. Pioneers in the cause, men who had the bread of life to give to the people, men whose hearts and minds were filled with the vital truths needed by the hundreds and thousands of people assembled, have sat and listened to young preachers who could not do justice to the occasion. Not even half work was done in the presentation of the gospel message. I am now called upon to present a similar message to our churches. Our aged ministering brethren are not to be overtaxed, but when they are at any of our churches, those in the church should remember that it is always courteous to ask them to speak. It is only showing these brethren the respect due them to say, "Brethren, you are older in the faith than we are. Have you not the word of the Lord for us at this time?" The time of these workers is precious. They have words to speak that the people need. When they come among you, give them all the time that they can possibly fill. Make arrangements that will enable you to obtain all the help possible from them during their stay. At our camp meetings, when large congregations assemble, the time given to public speaking should be occupied, as far as possible, by old, experienced workers, who have the word of the gospel to present. Do not place before the large congregation a young man who has not been proved. He may do his best, but his words will not have the weight of the words of men of gray hairs, who have been long in active service, and who, understanding the deep things of God, can present them with clearness and power. It would be doing a young man a great wrong to place him before a large congregation before he had been proved. It would not leave the best impression on the minds of the hearers. In our camp meetings, call to the front men of long experience and of the very best talent, men who can impress hearts by bringing forth clearly the strong reasons of our faith, men who obey the words, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Our camp meetings are not held for the purpose of putting men on exhibition, of showing off their capabilities. The people come together to receive spiritual good. There are among them those who are thirsting for the water of life. Give them opportunity to drink until their thirst is quenched. Let them hear a message fraught with the love of God. Let them have opportunity of listening to men of ripe talent, men whom God has been educating and training. The minds of these men are filled with truth that the people need. Do not bring in men who have not been proved, while men sit by in silence who have the word of God burning in their souls, and who may never again have opportunity to bear the message given them. Give these tried warriors all the opportunities to speak that they can improve without overtaxing themselves, for they can present the truths that are the very pillars of our faith. The younger ministers are not to think, because they are not called to speak to the large congregation, that there is nothing for them to do. There is work for all to do. Let them hold meetings in the smaller tents. Let the occupants of several tents meet in one tent for prayer and social meeting. In such meetings as these, the younger ministers can do good service. Let them speak a few words right to the point, and then give those present an opportunity to speak. All our people should learn to bear witness for God in social meeting. Let the younger ministers work for the children and youth, holding special meetings for them, and also putting forth personal efforts for them. Let the old standard bearers go from place to place, from meeting to meeting. Let our people have the benefit of their long experience. Let them speak the truth in all its force, but let them be sure that their feet are shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. Let them present the truth, not in a way that will arouse the worst feelings of the human heart, but in love and tenderness and compassion. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. To our people as a whole, and to our younger and less experienced workers, I am instructed to say, let it be plainly seen that you respect and honor our aged workers, the men of gray hairs, who have seen long and faithful service in the cause of God, and who are recognized and honored in the courts of heaven as laborers together with God. Experienced workers needed in the home field. Dear Brother and Sister Haskell, today I had an interview with Elder Lobera in regard to his going to Australia. I told him that it appeared to me that we were sending too many from the home field. I told him that the churches needed the work that he could do. I advised him to delay his journey, and work for a while in the churches, encouraging and comforting them, and setting things in order. We see the need of the help of old, experienced laborers, who have been connected with the work almost from its beginning, whose experience in it dates nearly from the passing of the time in 1844. We need the help of men who can testify as did John, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. We cannot afford to deprive our home mission of the influence of middle-aged and aged ministers to send them into distant fields, to engage in a work for which they are not qualified, and to which no amount of training will enable them to adapt themselves. The men thus sent out leave vacancies which inexperienced laborers cannot supply. Old age more productive than youth. The true minister of Christ should make continual improvement. The afternoon sun of his life may be more mellow and productive of fruit than the morning sun. It may continue to increase in size and brightness until it drops behind the western hills. My brethren in the ministry, it is better, far better, to die of hard work in some home or foreign mission field, than to rust out with inaction. Be not dismayed at difficulties, be not content to settle down without studying and without making improvement. Search the Word of God diligently for subjects that will instruct the ignorant and feed the flock of God. Become so full of the matter that you will be able to bring forth from the treasure house of His Word things new and old. Your experience should not be 10, 20, or 30 years old, but you should have a daily, living experience, that you may be able to give to each his portion of meat in due season. Look forward, not backward. Never be obliged to tug at your memory in order to relate some past experience. What does that amount to today to you or to others? While you treasure all that is good in your past experience, you want a brighter, fresher experience as you pass along. Do not boast of what you have done in the past, but show what you can do now. Let your works and not your words praise you. Prove the promise of God that those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age, they shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Keep your heart and mind young by continuous exercise. Efficiency may constantly increase. Our ministers who have reached the age of 40 or 50 years should not feel that their labor is less efficient than formerly. Men of years and experience are just the ones to put forth strong and well-directed efforts. They are specially needed at this time. The churches cannot afford to part with them. Such one should not talk of physical and mental feebleness nor feel that their day of usefulness is over. Many of them have suffered from severe mental taxation, unrelieved by physical exercise. The result is a deterioration of their powers and a tendency to shirk responsibilities. What they need is more active labor. This is not alone confined to those whose heads are white with the frost of time, but men young in years have fallen into the same state and have become mentally feeble. They have a list of set discourses, but if they get beyond the boundaries of these, they lose their soundings. The old-fashioned pastor, who traveled on horseback and spent much time in visiting his flock, enjoyed much better health, notwithstanding his hardships and exposures, than our ministers of today, who avoid all physical exertion as far as possible and confine themselves to their books. Ministers of age and experience should feel it their duty, as God's hired servants, to go forward, progressing every day, continually becoming more efficient in their work, and constantly gathering fresh matter to set before the people. Each effort to expound the gospel should be an improvement upon that which preceded it. Each year they should develop a deeper piety, a tenderer spirit, a greater spirituality, and a more thorough knowledge of Bible truth. The greater their age and experience, the nearer should they be able to approach the hearts of the people, having a more perfect knowledge of them. Men are needed for this time who are not afraid to lift their voices for the right, whoever may oppose them. They should be of strong integrity and tried courage. The church calls for them, and God will work with their efforts to uphold all branches of the gospel ministry. Last days may be the best. Do not speak words that will irritate or offend. The Lord desires you to guard every point in your character. You can be a blessing in communicating to others your knowledge of the truth and of health reform. The Lord loves you, and He desires you to do with power the work given you. When speaking to the people, do not seek to present something original and new. Give short talks, right to the point, on practical subjects. Thus you can feed starving souls. I feel anxious that in our old age we who have known the truth for so long shall become mellow in spirit and in our methods of labor, that we shall understand the simple, yet important and comprehensive truths of the third angel's message, and that we shall receive these truths in the love of God, and impart them to others. My brother, you need not feel that you are too old to train your voice. You talk in too low a tone. Open your mouth and use your abdominal muscles in sending forth the sound. Just now you are excellently situated for learning to talk clearly and distinctly. When talking to the workman, take in deep inspirations, and let your tones be full and round. Thus you will gain in health. Your delivery will improve, and your efforts to help the people will be crowned with success. The Lord has not forsaken you. He desires you to grow in grace, to increase in ability to help the people. But if you interest them, you must speak right to the point, and you must stop before you think you are half through. I cannot endure the thought of any of our aged believers decreasing in influence and efficiency. The Lord wants you to cooperate with Him in making all you can of yourself. If you will unite willingly with Him in this work, your last days will be your brightest and best. Heed the cautions that I have given you. Keep close to the clear lines of truth, and do not let your voice sink so low that the hearers can scarcely catch the sound. You will be much benefited health-wise if you will put forth determined effort to make your voice heard. It is a God-given duty to improve in speech, and this you can do if you will try with determination.